Good evening, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to the radio show, Butterfly Evolution. And our topic tonight will be Kings and Queens Unequally Yoked. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, also sitting in with me. I'm sure y'all familiar with Miss Tammy. Tammy, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you. Welcome, everybody.
Amen. And tonight we want to touch on a topic again as to how so many relationships, so many people are in relationships that God probably did not ordain, or they may feel like God didn't ordain. Or we have people in relationships that they say God ordained it, but there's no God being glorified. So we just want to know what is the Bible saying about not being unequally yoked. And I'm sure many of us can testify that we've been on that side of the fence, or either in that side of the fence or on that side of the fence as we speak, that maybe the relationship you're in is not working out. Maybe the relationship you're in is not edifying, it's not glorified God. And so tonight we're going to dig right in and find out what thus says the Lord, what the word of God says. And we want you to feel free. The phone lines are open to call in and to share, and we're going to all grow together in the Word of God. And again, the phone number to call in, if you're out there listening, you want to call in, you have a comment, is call us at 818-691-7406. Again, that number is 818-691-7406. Tammy, do you have anything to share real quick? And I'm going to take us in a word of prayer, and we can go ahead and get started.
No, you can. Let's go ahead and start with the prayer, and then we'll just move. I'll share as you give us your word, and I'll just follow your suit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you again tonight for your son and having a relationship with your son, oh God. We thank you again, God, for life itself and being able to praise you and pray to you and honor you and glorify you, Father God. But, Father God, we're reaching out into an audience tonight, God, that maybe in their relationships, maybe in their marriage, maybe in their engagement to be married, oh Lord God, they're experiencing some things and they're just not sure anymore if this is the right mate. Is this my soulmate? God, we want you to bring some clarity tonight through the words, through the word and through us praying. We want you to bring some clarity tonight, Father God, and give us more of an understanding, God, whom we're married to, whom we are proceeding to marry, God. Talk to us tonight, Father God. Speak to our hearts, oh God, like never before, God. Give us understanding. Are the people we're with now our soulmates, God? Answer us, oh Father God, through your word, God. Deliver us, oh, Father God, from a situation that's not of you, God. Edify, educate, and exalt your people tonight, God, through the word, oh, God, and through understanding, God. So we thank you right now, Father God, for those that are listening. We thank you for those that will be delivered. We thank you for those, oh, Father God, that will mature just through the word alone and making the next decision on who their mate should be. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Steve, I would like to start, just share a letter that I came across. It's actually a posting that a friend shared on Facebook, and I'm getting that now. I just need to make it a little bit bigger for my eyes, so if you guys give me just a minute. But I do want to share this because so many of us, women, for the most part, there's such a disconnect, such confusion when it comes to relationship and staying in love, realizing that it takes work to be in love. I feel that when people meet someone and I feel that there is, for the most part, there is a spiritual connection for some. That some people, they meet people and they think, wow, this is different. This seems different. There's something different going on. And what I think that does, because of what we see happening in society, I know for me, I have seen, and I can think of one couple in particular that really registers with my spirit, because I know and I knew that they really, really loved each other, but they just did not know how to love each other. And I believe one was because I think before we get to talk about being equally yoked with another person, for me, I had to, and I'm just using for me now, I had to learn how to be equally yoked with my Father, with God, with the Word. And I can tell you,
amen,
as I continue to grow in that Word, I started to look at me more, and even going back looking into my marriage, I was able to see, wow, it wasn't all him. It wasn't about what he was doing.
Right.
It was about what you weren't doing, even more, because I claimed to know God, but as God started to deal with me outside of that marriage, he allowed me to see Tammy, the Christian Tammy,
right,
the Christian Tammy, what you should have been doing, could have been doing, the things you could have said differently, did differently, regardless of the outcome. I personally don't feel the outcome would have been any different, but the experience would have. And I do feel
right,
like they would have eliminated a great deal of bitterness, the things that we carry on to that next relationship and so forth. But what I think happens when people meet someone, particularly more so when they've been hurt, what they do is
right,
they become afraid. They become afraid to love, to let go, to give this person all
yes,
of me, to trust, and so forth. So going back to this couple,
right,
I remember sitting during their divorce. They both were, I consider, to be very good, good friends. I mean, I consider her to be like a sister to me, and I consider him to be like a brother to me. So the breakup was just, It was hard even for me to deal with. But when I sat in that courtroom
right,
and I thought, how do two people that start out with such a lovely day, that wedding day, such a wonderful dating experience, so forth, three beautiful children, a lifelong of memories, ups and downs, of course, but how does two people make it here and they have so much hate for one another? And so I just remember that day looking at both of them saying, how does this happen? And I started thinking about, how does the kids feel about this happening? Because this is mom and dad, and this is one and one. They equal me. They equal us, the kids. So
right,
I wanted to share
right,
this letter. This letter talks about, goes a little bit deeper into it, but I want to share it with you guys. So I'm going to read it. It's a letter to a friend, and it says, I just knew for sure that I had met the man of my dreams. I was ready and well-equipped to become his wife, whatever the meaning of a good wife was. I was going to be that and more. But to my surprise, he ended our relationship. I was convinced that he would come back. For a whole year, I declined so many offers to date other men. I waited for my prince, but he never came back. Some decades later, he informed me that he made a mistake and wished that he had made a wiser choice. I am forever grateful to have heard him say those words to me. But this is what I have learned. Not everyone will recognize the blessing that God has placed in front of them. Not everyone will see their Boaz or Ruth. And when they do, they will not move mountains, cross valleys, or fight for their true love. Years later, their eyes will open, but yet still they will say, it's too late. I have things to iron out. The excuses will come as to why they will reject the blessings. Some will just simply let it be, thinking that things just happen for a reason. Well, maybe the reason is the lesson in that you should not just let things be. You should go after your love, your happiness, your joy, your heart, your dreams. You should fight, and then fight some more. I am worth the pain, the scars, the bruises, the valleys, and the mountains. But if he is not willing to accept his blessings, then someone else will. Same in life. You have to fight for what you want, and not take no for an answer. Once you see something that you want, go after it. Yes, there will be challenges. Yes, you may have to give up some things, but in the end, you will be a lot happier. So cheer up, my friend. Your Boaz might travel some miles to reach you. He may travel by caravan, sailboat, or maybe even a parachute. It may take a while, but either way, he is coming. He will not reject you. I know, because I have mine. And what I want to say as a woman and two
Amen.
Women is
Amen.
Don't settle. Don't settle for the wrong person. Don't settle because, as I posted in the description, you know, don't settle because I was reminded of that song, Me and Mr. Wrong Get Along So Good. You know, you get along so good with Mr. Wrong. You know, so I'm saying don't settle for Mr. Wrong, particularly if you know you are a queen and you're Mrs. Right. Don't settle because there's no one there or it seems like no one's coming. Don't settle. So that's
right,
what I was
saying. Right, right, right. And I would like to tell the brother, don't settle for Miss Rome. Cause Miss Rome is out there too. She out there too now. But I believe because of society, Tammy, and the things that we all have experienced. One of the key things you said early on in the broadcast was that being equally yoked with your father. And that is so paramount, that is so key to every other relationship in your life. Every other relationship is going to mimic or mirror your relationship with the Father. See, if we don't have that relationship with God first, how can we even venture off to talking about marrying someone, loving someone, a soulmate? And you, listen, if they're your soulmate, but you don't know their favorite color. You don't know the things that are important to her or important to him, but yet we call them a soulmate. So I think we need to go back to the basics. To be equally yoked, we have to first be equally yoked with God. And in that, I believe because of, you spoke of hurt and you spoke of pain and bitterness that was in a relationship. I remember myself also being married for quite a while, and you know, you're thinking this person is it. But I remember we got married in the world, and then I met Jesus. And then the scripture says, remain as you are. But that don't mean that people are going to get saved. That don't mean that they're going to love the Lord. And sometimes you find yourself trying to save people, and we ain't got on a cake to say we Jesus. So when we find ourselves trying to save folk that God ain't call us to save nobody, but what he did tell us and ask us to do and commands us to do is to go out and tell people about his son Jesus, lead them to the water, but I can't make you drink. So even in my relationship, I remember it got to the point, and you learn from your mistakes, it got to the point to where it was just, we was married just for the sake of the kids. You know, we had two daughters, my first and only marriage, my dad, two daughters, and it was really, we hung on those 10 years for the sake of the kids, and that ended up being even more poison or more toxic than it was for the kids. And I'm saying that to say this, only through our trial and error and then beginning to understand who God really is, can we go forth with a healthy relationship. With a healthy relationship. Let's look at let's go to Matthew 6 verses 14 and 15. Now, a lot of us, even today, because we understand that hurt people hurt people, we end up getting in relationship with people who have the same pain, same issue, same drama, same baggage, same luggage, and now we love each other. We both wounded. We both hurt. And really, we become, when you lock in with a person like that and carrying the same stuff you're carrying, you're really already unequally. You're one. Because you ain't dealt with God in your own personal pain. I think two people don't come together and become one. I think two people that are half people become together and become one big half. But one whole person come together with another whole person equal one strong foundation. And what happens a lot of times is we don't rectify, we don't make amends with the relationship that we have with God. In Matthew 6 and 14. Matthew 6 and 14.
It says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Is that where you wanted to go?
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You want to, how many verses do you want? I just looked up the 6 and 14.
I think 14 and 15. 15. And what I want to point out,
I have it. Okay. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Okay. Now, what I want to point out there, most of us that's been in relationship, let's just think for a moment about your last relationship. Or your last marriage, what it was like going through the divorce, what you was challenged with, what you was struggling with. Think about that pain, that hurt, that unforgiveness, that anger, those things there. If we don't hear this, if we don't release that, really forgive them. I'm talking about really and truly, because it ain't nothing like a baby mama or baby daddy pushing a button. And those of you know what I mean, that sometimes a person you don't spend 10, 15 years with, they can say three words and push a button only because you spent a substantial amount of time with those people. And so now they can easily say something and speak to that pain or speak to that hurt that's never been resolved. We have to really forgive them. Because if we don't forgive them, and hear this, we can go to church, we can have a church Bible, wear a church suit, and talk church, look church, but that don't mean we're operating in a spirit of forgiveness. And the Bible is saying here, you can go to church all if you want, praise the Lord, give a tithe, give an offering, but if you're not forgiving that spouse, that ex-spouse, that ex-husband, that ex-wife, if you're not forgiving them, then there's some things God can release you of. And guess what? We take that spirit into a relationship, and now we done found new love over old pain, old hurt, old issues. And as soon as the new guy or the new woman do something that mimics or looks like the ex, then all that hurt, all that pain is struck up again. And really, we are unequally yoked. Unequally yoked, and we want this relationship to flourish and to grow. With all this pain, all this luggage that we're taking into a relationship, and come to find out, y'all don't have nothing in common. You want to go to church, he or she want to stay at the house. You want to go out and help people in the ministry, they want to chill and watch TV. You want to go and witness about Jesus, but they want to go to the mall and go shopping. Ain't saying something wrong with shopping. You're more about the secular things in the world. They're more about the spiritual things that's in God, in the kingdom. You want to listen to R&B down low. They want to listen to Israel, New Breed, the Word of God. They want to listen to something. There's something wrong if now you're married, you say you're in love, I love you, you love me, but y'all have nothing in common. How do we overcome that stigma? Because if we look at in the Word, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse, I'm thinking 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Matter of fact, before we go to verse 22, go up to verse 15, and the Word is going to begin to tell us that how we should walk individually. And then we can expect the wife or expect the husband to be able to submit to that we're walking in, opposed to how we're trying to control the situation, manage the the situation? Strong arm the situation. Are you unequally yoked? Even to the point where we shack up with each other and want God to move, want God to bless, want God to understand. Are you unequally yoked tonight? What do you supposed to look for in a man? What do you look for in a woman? But see, as Timmy was saying earlier, if we're lined up with God the right way, if we're equally yoked with God the right way first, then everything else becomes, I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm being guided by God. Is it okay to test the merchandise? I hear a lot of people preach to say it. They want to have sleep with the woman first or to sleep with the man first just to know what they got. Is that the way to go? Or did you do that, try that, and never got the ring? Never got the engagement, never made it to the altar, and you still talk about going to the altar? Give us a call on tonight, 818-691-7406. Are you unequally yoked tonight? Are you still flirting in the church? Are you still playing girlfriend and boyfriend games and you 40 years old? Are you unequally yoked? That now there's animosity in the relationship. The only reason you married now is for the sake of the kids. Are you unequally yoked? Do your relationship bring glory to the kingdom, or do it build a foundation for the devil? Are you unequally yoked? These are the things we got to ask ourselves as we living in 2013. It's time out for faking it till you make it. It's time out for acting and pretending and putting on a facade. Are you unequally yoked? Jesus coming back. Are you ready? If you will, Tammy, read verse 15, please.
Verse 15, okay. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Okay, let's talk there parenthetically. Redeeming the times. Tammy, can you share just a moment there? You want to jump in?
Redeeming the time. See then that you walk them not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
On that evil, about the days are evil.
Yeah.
The days that we see. Go ahead.
But no, you go ahead.
but what I was saying, just how, you know, I was sharing it somewhere, that now we have website for couples that want to swing with other couples. They call it swinging. I think that's what they call it swinging. They wanna flip flop, exchange bedrooms with one another. The days are evil. That's a type of evil. Is those things okay? If we're living for Christ, our life is glorifying Christ, and we're the example for Christ, how we that are in Christ participate in those things? How? That's just a form of evil. You know, you got now, there's something else. I mean, I'm going to go a little farther here with it, that how now that pain feels good in the bedroom to choke me, beat me, slap me out, this new wave. It's some stuff going on. That's are those things that we consider evil. How violence, how pretending to be raped turns you on, moves you. And what happens is, we get in these relationships with people with things and issues and stuff that's never been resolved with God. We go in relationships with the hurt, the pain, and we want God to fix it. We want God to save him. We want God to save her. and God done showed you the signs. God done gave you his word. God done ordained certain things in your life, and we keep running from the things that'll make us whole, running from the things that'll heal us, running from the things that'll make us better, running from the things that'll give us understanding. And we embrace the things that cause us pain, cause us strife, cause us malice, cause us to be envy, cause us to be bitter. We run to those things in these relationships. If you got a good job and a good car, that's the Lord. He got a six-pack, he's fine. But you don't see he's psychotic too. We see
Steve,
five, but won't see six.
Steve, I think, too, that in both cases, women and men, the relationship becomes their God. The relationship, even the fact I hear women, more women, and I'm speaking because I'm a woman, but I hear women, it's as if when they don't have a man, their life it's like life is over for them. They don't want to do anything. They don't experience the joys of life. They don't take that time to grow and heal and deal with those issues. And so when you talk about kings and queens, I can't be your king if I don't already know. I can't be your queen if I don't already know that I am a queen, with or without you. I'm
right.
A queen when you stepped to me. I have to see myself as a queen so that you know you have to respect me as a queen, as a lady, as a woman of God, that you have to do that, because not only do I portray that, my light shines and it shows that. My actions, my works shows that. My obedience shows that. But so many people don't know who they are, and we've become, I say not conformed to this world, but addicted to this world. And maybe that's what that means, redeeming that the time. I don't know. But we are addicted to the patterns of this world. We don't have... Our patterns should be based on the word of God. Our patterns should be based on what God says we should do, the obedience. But instead, we've taken on, like the things you were mentioning, everything is acceptable. And we as queens,
right,
as women of God and men of God, we're saying, no, this is not acceptable. This goes against God's word. We're saying, okay, let it happen. You know, we continue to have more reality shows to the point now we have, and I don't know how everybody feels about this, but I think it's a total disgrace to have to put pastors on a reality show, because the reality is I should see that in your everyday life. I shouldn't have to see you on TV to see how you're living. I can meet you
right,
to see
right.
how you live.
And I'm glad you said that, because I remember one reality show was showing a pastor and pastor wives of sisterhood, I think it was, but it was so secular and so worldly, from being in a strip club, being out of Miami, having a drink, and these are pastor wives, and these are the people supposed to be mature in the things of God. These are the examples, these are the leaders that have not resolved with their own pain, their own hurt, and not saying they have to be perfect. Not saying they have to be perfect, but there's a standard that the Bible goes by. And when we go outside the standard of what the Bible goes by, somebody has to say something. Because Paul come along and say in the New Testament that any brother that walk disorderly, meaning anybody who claims the name of Christ and walks disorderly, redeeming the times, for the days are evil. How can we do that? How? How can we redeem the time? Being mindful, being on alert, noticing, watching, not just laying aside and doing nothing, but what are we doing to redeem the time? And then it says, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of God in relationships? And I know just through mistake, trial, error, ups and downs, we all been in some relationships. But how is our life lined up with God to even say get into a relationship? Because the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds. And I remember sharing with someone that women now these days need to learn how to hide first. Because the first thing you see is everything, I mean, from the cleavage too low to to the extra this and extra that. But tonight, we have to ask ourselves, are you in a relationship and you know that you know that you know you unequally yoked? You know you unequally yoked. How do you move past and move forward? Do you stay in it till Jesus come out and say, God, I couldn't get out? Because we understand one thing here, and I'm just share something here real quick, that let's consider how wrong relationships affect your relationship with God. Think about that. Any wrong relationship that you're in right now, it affects your relationship with God. Why? You can't pray to God and you sleep with a married man. You can't pray to God and you sleep with a married woman. Hello? You can't pray to God and you know that relationship has nothing to do with God. And yet we're supposed to pray. You can't go to church and lift up a holy hand in a relationship that's not of God. So every relationship that's incorrect or wrong affects our relationship with God. The first relationship starts with God. In the book of Ephesians, it reads them down. Can you read, like, start at 17?
Yes. 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God.
Okay, now listen to the key thing there. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Not because you make more money, not because you may have more education, but submitting to one another, the fear. And fear there is meaning in reverence. You study that word back to its Greek meaning, it goes into respect or reverence. In a respect and reverence to God. That's why we do what we do. That's why we submit. Not because you're making me, or I got to, or I have to, but because out of my admiration, respect, and honor unto God, it's the God thing to do. Because if you notice, when you go down to the very next verse, it says, wives, submit yourself to your husband. But it gives an example as to what the husband and what the wife should be like before you even get to that verse. It gives you a prime example of where we should be, or how we should be acting. Let's look at a relationship, and the very first relationship we see in the Bible was Adam and Eve. What was Adam's position in the garden? Adam had somewhere to stay. Adam had responsibility. Adam had a relationship with God. So why would we go outside those qualifications of God and giving us a prime example what's the very first relationship look like, sanctioned, ordained, put together by God? Tammy?
I'm here. I got a text. I'm
okay.
Here. If somebody has a question. Go ahead.
Okay, great. But what I want to say, people of God, and even in that, nobody's perfect, but let us stay within inside the parameters or the guidelines of what God say, and that man you married, that woman you married, that you can't seem to stand, y'all can't seem to stand each other, y'all do more fussing and fighting than praying in faith and praying and believing in having faith. Y'all do more arguing, more fussing, more fighting than anything else, and you want to still put God in it. But did God ordain it? Did you go to God first about it? Are you tonight unequally yoked? Are you struggling?
What would you tell for those people whose answer to that question is yes? Let's give an example. If someone tonight thinks that they're in a relationship, whether it be married, because I feel that for the most part, people know before marriage that they're not on the same page and enter into a marriage thinking it's going to change, this person will change. What would you say for someone that is in a relationship where they are severely unequally yoked? What would be some suggestions?
Well, the number one suggestion, what I would have to say, because I've been there, done that, the most important thing to you in that situation now has to become your relationship with God. Because if that ain't the most important, if that's not the priority, that relationship that you're in right now is going to go from bad to worse to heinous. Because I believe the Bible says, warning comes before a destruction. It does. If you find yourself and you're in that place tonight, there's no way out. Maybe it's his house. Maybe it's his money. Make sure first you get your relationship right with God. That's easier said than done, because you've been in it. You're in the middle of it. But you got to get to a place where your soul is at stake now. This ain't no game no more. The devil trying to kill you. Maybe he hang out all night. Come home smelling like whatever. And then want to climb on top of you, and you stuck. And you stagnant in that place. If you're not connected to a local church, get connected to one. Go to the pastor. That's, before you do any of that, check your relationship with God. If you're serious about your relationship with God and you find yourself in that place, God will provide a way of escape. What are you saying? Get on your knees. Pray to God. Repent to God. Because you know it's the wrong relationship. You knew it 5 years ago, 3 months ago, 30 days ago. And ask God to bring you out. How will God do it? God always have a realm in the book. This where faith without works is dead. So by your faith and believing in God, and you put in the work, God will send somebody. God, listen, somebody will come up to you tomorrow and say, sister, I don't know why I'm coming to you, but the Lord said this. Somebody will come up to you. God will deliver you like he delivered the children of Israel, like he delivered Moses, like God is always delivering his people. That's my first line of action I tell someone is first, let's pray and get your relationship right with God. Let that be priority and watch God move in your life. This ain't a game. It ain't a joke. Because, listen, you don't want to die, and then after you die, you stand before the Lord, and the Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because everything we do, we're going to be judged on everything we do. Why waste another 5 years in that relationship? If you know he know, then y'all know. Is it for money? Is it for the kids? Is it because it's too much invested? Nothing is more invested than your soul. Nothing. Because, listen, if the tornado comes, it's going to blow the house away and flip the cars over. And it's gone with a blink. But when Jesus comes back, you can't go and fix that. You can't go and get that right. You can't say, God, let me erase this part of my life for 7 years. I was tripping. People of God, listen, are you unequally yoked tonight? And it's been a struggle. And some of you, listen, some of you have really been there, and you're there now, and your heart is hurting. The pain is on the inside. You're tired of being there. You can't be the woman of God you want to be. You can't be the man of God God has called you to be. You know it. You lay awake at night crying on the pillow. The tears drop down your face. You want to praise God, but you can't. You want to worship God, but you can't. You want to break free. You don't know how. God is speaking to you tonight. There's deliverance for that. There's a way out of that. Are you ready for that change? I know it looks like the rest of the world going and doing what they're doing, but at the end of the day, everybody, me, you, the person you work for, the person that you work for, the person that they work for, everybody got to give an account on what did you do for God. So is that unequally your relationship more important than your eternal dwelling with God? It's not a game anymore. It's gonna cost you everything. Give us a call on tonight. You have questions. You may have some answers. You may have a statement. I don't know what to. You may just want prayer. Call us at 818-691-7406. That's 818-691-7406.
And I have a question.
I'm sorry.
I have a question. What would you tell a woman that is seeking or dating in the dating stage, not yet married? I'm trying to phrase this particularly how they say it without, okay. What are some of the things that women should be very mindful of when seeking a mate and on the basis of being equally yoked? For sure, spiritual, of course. But what are some of the other things that women should be looking for? And this is a question from a woman. So what are some of the things that women should be very particular for in choosing a mate, even to date? And when should they walk away once they realize it? Because you spoke about, this reminded me of you speaking about earlier, that people try to save people, and they're not saved, as far as they've not saved themselves from their own disappointment, pains in their past, and they try to become the warrior and the hero, I think, in order to make themselves feel better about their own personal trials and tribulations and situations, and they try to save that person. But what are some of the things that a person, a woman particularly, should look for and be mindful in that dating stage? What are those warning signs that they should not overlook? Maybe it's a better way to say that.
Let me try and answer that in three parts. One, if you've been in a relationship and you came out of one, you should allow yourself 1 year without dating anybody. 1 year. Because whatever you was in, and you're not in it anymore, there's some things that still, I'll call it residue, that's still lingering around emotionally. You may have a picture, you may still have some of the text in your phone, but there's still, you need time to re-walk back with God. Because apparently, you didn't listen to God on the last relationship. Give yourself 1 year with Jesus. Two, the Bible never says a woman needs to be seeking, looking, trying to get hooked up with no man. Matter of fact, the Bible says, tell me how to find that scripture, it teaches about when you're single, you got more time for the Lord. When you're single, you can do the Lord's will. When you're single, you ain't got the cares of a husband, the cares of a wife, and you got more time to spend with Jesus. That's what we're not doing. Thing three, anytime, let's just say out of the two I just named, you weren't seeking and looking, you gave yourself that 1 year, you're going to, maybe you're visiting the church or you're doing a home Bible study, you're in a good place. The Bible teaches, and I don't know anything outside of that. Not saying you want to be attracted, you want to notice people, that's fine, well, and good. But the Bible says that he who finds a wife, God put that responsibility on a man to find a wife. And it's nothing like a man seeing a woman doing the will of God on the battlefield of God. That, and if it's a real man of God, you're going to know it. It ain't going to be a question. And listen, y'all can be playing worldly footsies, worldly this, worldly that. When I say worldly, if you still struggling or bathed in your word, and he's strong in his word, unequally yoked. Unequally yoked. Because one, there's a possibility you may get offended on the way he loved God. Or two, he may be offended the way you love God and you're deep in the word. If the man that you're interested in is not doing the will of God, you better turn around and run. And that's a strong, you need to turn around and run. Because see, both y'all end up getting together, y'all both lukewarm, ain't doing nothing. And the only person being glorified and edified is y'all together. Not the kingdom, not the world, not other married couples. But the only people reaping out of y'all coming together, being benefited, reaping a benefit out of y'all being together is y'all. That ain't God. Remember, God bring man and woman together to replenish, multiply, be fruitful. And our marriage is supposed to be a reflection of what the kingdom of God is like. It's too many women and too many men playing the dating game. Is it easy? No. Why it's not? Because our flesh is so needy. We have been so accustomed to our flesh and satisfying and gratifying the desires of our flesh. Listen, think of everything you got into that was messed up, real bad to the left. It came out of the flesh. That flesh ain't no joke. That's why that relationship with God has to be so important to you, sister. So important to you, brother. It has to be real important. And I can teach it and say it because I've been down the road and I know what it's like. It's hard to get out that flesh. But once you get out, stay out. Stay out. Stay out. Give us a call tonight. You know you're unequally yoked. You know you're unequally yoked. You know you're unequally yoked. If you really love God, if you really want to continue to foster a powerful relationship with God, don't date and compromise. Date and keep it in the standard of God. And I ain't saying dating okay, because listen, you can date the wrong person. And I mean, your intentions are well. You love the Lord. Let me get a true experience. Matter of fact, let me just talk real talk. I remember a time when I first came back from up north. And, I mean, you know, just on fire, loving the Lord, just amped about Jesus. You know, and I went to a particular church down south for a year, took a vow, celibacy, a whole year, because I knew, you know, I just knew, you know, I wanted to get caught up and twisted up. And then I always from the front row of the church, I ain't got time to see what's behind me, you know, and God moving. The word of God is powerful, and there was a young lady that showed a lot of interest. I was like, every Bible study, boom, she there. Question, boom, she there. Just any function the church had, she's right there. So anyway, one of my mottos, don't let females come up to your house after dark. That was one of my things. You ain't coming up to my house after dark. Matter of fact, bring a partner, friend. And I was really on that mode. For at least a good year, just no dating. So anyway, end up dating casually, and come to find, be careful, as I said, but come to find out these individuals, they end up divorcing their husband, and I didn't know all these things until kind of after the fact, but because they were too persistent, it was just something in my spirit wasn't right. But at the end of the day, I did go to lunch. We had a couple of dinners, but nothing else took place. But they done put me before the Lord. That's my husband, yada, yada, yada. And I don't know nothing about none of this. And I'm saying that to say this. When I found out that's where they were, and said, listen, this is not what God told me. This ain't what God said to me. I'm the worst person in the world now. I've done nothing for a bit now. And this is a true story. This is a true story. And when I'm saying that to say, you have to be careful how nice you can be. Because even being nice, sometimes people can take nice as a flirt, and it really ain't a flirt. That's why if God is not really speaking to that man and say, this is my wife, and a brother comes and says, sister, the Lord said you're going to be my wife, and walk you down A, B, C, and D with it, then I think just casually dating can become dangerous. Because after you date, the Bible says, do not let your good be evil spoken of. I mean, what if y'all want to watch a movie? Late night at somebody's house. We haven't had relations in a while. The flesh is acting up. What did you do? Run out like Joseph did, left his cloak? And if you're strong enough, you will. But even that, you know not to put yourself in that position. Are you unequally yoked with someone? Y'all started out sexually, have nothing to do with the spirit. Oh, she cute, he cute, we cute, let's do what we do, cute together. Are you unequally yoked tonight? How long you going to stay in that relationship and make God be in it, and he ain't nowhere there? You can't even go to church like you used to. You don't pray like you used to. You don't read the word like you used to. Matter of fact, that relationship took everything out of you. And the only times that are good, when y'all having a glass of wine. That's it. Tim, you have something to share? I hear you in the background.
Well, a couple of things. I have a couple of questions. These are my personal questions. I heard that you said, and I want to go back to the married part. I'm flipping a little bit everywhere here, but I want to go back to being married. Because a number of women, and I'm speaking again, men may feel the same way, but I don't know that. But a lot of women, particularly women who are, who have a relationship with God, if they get to a point where they realize, hey, this is challenging to my spiritual growth, this relationship, I'm talking marriage, this relationship is challenging for me, and if they're going by the word, if they're living and being obedient to God's word, a number of women this is a difficult process for them to divorce, so to speak. And I heard you earlier, and maybe I misunderstood that, but I wanted you to clarify. What do you say to those women who are godly women who are who they see in their eyes as being obedient to the word when it comes to divorcing and things of that nature? Because a number of women are stuck in marriages, and you know, this is something I say you go to God about. I don't want anybody to get any indications that we are telling them anything, yay or nay. But what advice would you tell those women who are in relationships, even some abusive, verbally as well? You know, it could be verbally, physically. But a number of women find in the word or think that the word tells them you have to stay in these relationships. It's really hard for them to divorce because they see that as sin, as going against God's word. So what would you say to those women? What would be your advice to those women? And I know you said, you know, go to God in prayer. What if those women, they're doing that and they feel like they're not getting an answer and things are not changing? What do they do?
Well, I'm gonna say this, and if it's an abusive situation, before we get off the line, you should be out the door right now. Gone, done, finished, wrapped. That's over. Because your life is dependent on that right there. And I'm gonna go a little bit farther. They want to be obedient to the word, but was they obedient to the word from the beginning? Did they marry into it? Did they listen to the word going in is the question. And each situation has its own different details to it. That now that you're married, but before you got married, did you go to God? Did you use God's guidelines? Was you a Christian in it, or did you become a Christian afterwards? Now, if there's an abuse in a relationship, again, not even saying it being facetious, but you need to get gone, if I can say it like that. You need to be gone, up, out, finished, because your life is in danger now. And then if it's not abuse, it's verbal abuse, still the same thing. If God didn't ordain it, and you know it, so you can't be disobeying God in something that God didn't call from the beginning. And only each individual that's hearing me speak know how you went in your relationship. Did you go to God? Or did you find God after the relationship? One of the things that I did experience when I met my wife years ago and we got married, I wasn't in the church. I wasn't studying no church, but she wasn't either. We were out there in the club. We were doing what we do. And I got saved by the grace of God. And she looked up, lo and behold, she was married to Stephen J. Now this Minister Johnson. This Brother Johnson. And my whole demeanor changed. I went from having a money clip to a wallet. You follow what I'm saying? To wear shirts and ties. And now, but she married this dude, this hustler, this guy that do all this other stuff. And now my life has changed. Do we stay in it? According to the word of God in Corinthians, Paul say, remain as you are. Now, and a man have to really do what thus says the Lord. Because it speaks about the saved husband, the obedience of the saved husband can influence the wife and bring her in. Please, she not commit adultery or death. That's the only way he need to get out of that relationship. But now if she tends to do adultery, because if a person ain't in love with God and they despise the God you serve, it's just a matter of time for their faithfulness and fidelity to you goes out the window. Because really you can't satisfy or nurture them because y'all serving two different masters. So my strong advice, if you're in a relationship, you're married, and there's an abusive, physical abusive situation, or verbal abusive situation and kids involved, you need to be out of that ASAP. If you belong to a local church, go to a pastor and really walk through that with him. But if it's physical abuse, you need to get out of that. And then however you went in it, was God a part of it when you went in? And if you know the man ain't going to church, you ain't saved him in 5 years because you can't save it. You can't change nobody. No man, the Bible says in Matthew, no man can come to God except God draw him. God has to draw a person to this salvation. You can't just wake up and say, oh, I just want to be saved today. And what happens a lot of times, Tammy, is we try and we get married because our flesh, we want to have sex. We get married because they got a good job. We get married because they got money. We get married because somebody told us to marry them. We get married because I grew up with them. All the wrong reasons. The number one reason anybody should be married is because of love. And where we get that from? From God. What is God? God is love. So if God is love, and God and love is in your heart, and you're in the will of God, guess what? God's going to lead you to the right one. What we don't do, we don't allow the process to take place. We rush. We go ahead of God. And once we go ahead of God, and not a man and a woman beating us on our head, now we want God, come say, God, help us out right now. God, can you tie my hand? I got grace and mercy, but you tied my hand. So if you put yourself in it, guess what? You got to bring yourself out of it. You have to get yourself out of it. Do prayer. But give us a call tonight. You know you're in the wrong relationship. You know you're struggling, and y'all are not happy. Y'all not happy. It's a task just to sit down and have dinner. It's a task to be in the same house. What will you do tonight if you're unequally yoked? in the book of Ephesians, and it speaks about wives submitting to your husband. But you can't submit if he ain't submitted. How could you? One, there's no respect. There's none. Wives, submit to your husband. You know, and that scripture that speaks about submitting to a godly man. And we get to submit to your husband. Now, God ain't just saying submit just because he's a man, but submit to your husband who's in the Lord. And I think in the book of Corinthians, it also teaches about man is the head of woman, and the head of man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. There's an order. There's a protocol. Because if Jesus ain't the head of the man you with, you already got a problem. That's an accident waiting to happen. Are you unequally yoked tonight? And Kevin, what was the other question? You had, feel like you had a couple of questions.
1 Corinthians 7, where it talks about for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, where it talks about if it talks about he must not divorce. Let me just read it. Let me find it and read it here. If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer, I think you brought that up, and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband.
Okay. All right, Tim, let's start right there. Now, let's be mindful. It says willing to live with her or him. That don't mean you just take up residence, y'all stay in the same house, you going to the club, you out balling, you doing this, you doing that. Live with him meaning submit to the ways of the Lord, how he submitted. Live with him. Dwell with him. Honor him. Respect him. Respect his God. Respect his walk. Respect her walk. Respect her God. Respect the house. And I think a lot of people take that out of context because you have more women that's going to the church, leaving a man at the house, thinking that that's okay.
Okay.
And we get it confused. Read on down. I'm sorry.
Well, then, the part, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? And I'm bringing it up because, again, a good number of people, and I think more women than men, I'll just say that, I think more women than men are in this situation.
Okay, before you go further, do it say save them or sanctify them? It says sanctify, or do it say save?
Hold on, let me go back to it because I got out of it. Save. Say, it says save.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just want you to comment on that because, again, I feel that most women, and I think we say, too, a lot of times, women say a lot of times because, in most cases, the husband may be the provider or out of society, you know, being ashamed and that kind of thing. But if they're using scripture, and a number of people are, does it go back to how you went into that marriage or being saved? I'm asking that question to you.
I believe, as Paul said in that particular passage of scripture, if the person that's in the house, one saved and one is unsaved, and they're living in a harmony in that, that's what I think Paul is saying, that can save them in the context of that. But if the saved person is living a peaceful or soulless life, then the one that's living in the house, that's living totally opposite, boisterous, rude, rambunctious lifestyle, just then that's not harmony. because they're going, they're really not living as in the essence of one. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
They're not really honoring the God that that woman or that man served. They're not really respecting that God or respecting her behavior. Because the Bible says light and darkness cannot dwell. So somebody's going to have to get gone. The light and dark can't dwell. So I believe Paul was getting the room that the behavior of the sanctified woman or the sanctified man, the behavior of them will influence, eventually win them over into the kingdom to where they want to change their ways and change their lifestyle and follow that God that they serve. Because Corinth had a lot of issues going on in that particular time. But again, two of the things that you mentioned, if there's abuse, and if there's physical abuse, verbal abuse, and they solely went into a relationship thinking they can save a man, that you started out wrong. But God have mercy and grace, and as He chooses to. Every situation is different. Every situation is different. But I'm a realist. Everybody know their motives. Everybody know why they do what they do. If you know you're a man of God, a woman of God, you're dating somebody who ain't nowhere on your level, you can rest assured, one, there's going to be disappointment. Two, there's going to be some kind of rejection. Three, there's going to be some type of disharmony. You already know that. The Bible already teaches you that. Because how can two walk together except they agree? If we can't agree about my God, we already starting out wrong. Already. If your passion and your desires ain't for the kingdom, we already starting out wrong. Now, we can play with ourselves and fool ourselves and go, oh, well, she's nice. Oh, well, he's nice. And, oh, y'all look good together. That sounds good, and that may be good for y'all. But at the end of that roller coaster, at the end of that ride at the surface, it's going to be a hard stop, and it's going to be some pain behind it. Why? Because we're no longer walking in the will of God. We're walking in the will of the flesh. Because if you don't been alone 2, 3, 4 years, it feels good to go to a restaurant with somebody. be alone long enough. It feels good to watch a movie. And you just to have somebody to talk to. Just to have somebody to vent to. Because our flesh. And what happens is, I'm not saying if you're doing, you know, you're doing ministry 20 hours out of 24 hours that you won't feel a bit of loneliness, that you won't feel you want to talk to somebody. Because we're designed and created to be attracted to the opposite sex. God gave us that by nature. So it ain't a wrong feeling. It ain't a wrong emotion. But it's how we manage it where it becomes error. How the choices we make where it becomes an error. Then when the Bible says, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve, who ye shall serve, you, every day you got to get up and make a choice. You got to make a choice. I'm going to choose to be in an abusive relationship. I'm going to choose not to be in one. I'm going to choose to be in bondage. I'm going to choose not to be in bondage. I'm going to choose to go through the process. I'm going to choose not to go through the process. Either or, either choice you make, there's a path already set for the repercussion, good or bad or indifferent. Are you unequally yoked tonight? Woman, man of God, are you? Unsaved, saved, you with the wrong person. You with the wrong. Listen, y'all shall enhance each other in whatever y'all do. Whatever y'all do. Y'all should have some little common things. Me, I like watching Andy Griffin. I like watching simple little stuff sometimes. Everybody don't like that. Everybody don't like watching them black and white. Sometimes it's just a real simple little show that everybody don't like that. Don't mean the person that don't like it is a bad person. Don't mean it because I like it, I'm a good person. It's just y'all should have some commonality. Period. And if you don't have them up front, listen, he can buy and drive a Benz, she can drive a Benz. Y'all can both be two lawyers. But if y'all ain't got nothing in common, that's all y'all are. Two people with two occupations, two jobs. Ain't doing nothing. Ain't doing, let me use Dave Butler, because ain't doing nothing for the kingdom. Do you find yourself in that position tonight? Miss Tammy?
They're quiet. Very quiet. But this, I figured this would want to be one of those topics, particularly because of the direction we're going, not on the worldly side of it. But if nothing else, my hope here is that it really helps people, men and women, think before going into a marriage, because marriage is so sacred. And once you enter into a marriage and you have kids, you know, God meant for marriage to last, to work, for love to work, for kids to grow up in the home with mother and father and have their children come back, their children. So the grandkids comes back to their house that they were raised in or somewhere, you know, where the mother and father is. So the whole sanctity and how society looks at marriage as, oh, if it doesn't work, I can just get out. Well, think about that when you're going in. It's not something that we should want to just get out, feel like, okay, if it doesn't work. What if we couldn't? What if we just could not get out totally? You know, again, marriage is supposed to produce fruit in so many ways, in so many ways. So being unequally yoked, knowing that, and going into a marriage thinking he will change, she will change, it will get better. No.
Right,
not saying
right.
Prayer does change things, but people have to want to change. People have the desire to have a relationship with God. People have to want to be delivered from their stuff. And if people are conformed to this world, if they're addicted to the patterns of this world and they're not praying and they're not spending time with God, the likelihood of that happening is so little chance of that happening. If they are not in tune, at least seeking God, at least seeking him. But people are seeking the world today. So people be mindful. You're dating. Be mindful of the people that you're choosing. Don't just waste your time just for the sake of having somebody in your life. See yourself as a king. See yourself as a queen. See yourself as valuable, meaning I don't have time to waste with you. I know what I want. I know my purpose. I know who I serve. And if you're not about that, number one, if you're not about that, then that eliminates this thing right here. And I'm not saying just saying that you're about it, but your actions, your love and your desire for the Lord is there. It's just proof. It's evident. Your light shines. You produce fruit. So that's my hope, whether you're quiet or you have questions or not, is that if it's just one person that will choose to say, you know, this won't work. You mean it? We shouldn't walk down this aisle. We shouldn't get married and just go that route, knowing that we are unequally yoked, knowing that you love God and I'm at the club, or vice versa, and I want to be at the club, or you read your word and I'm watching whatever constantly. Not saying that, you know, you don't watch something outside of that from time to time, but you have to focus on, and you have to know who you are. You can't be on the, you know, double-minded and on the fence with where you are as well. It's just time for people to get right. We're at the end times. It's just time for people to know who they serve and serve.
Right. So what about the brother? He wanna date more than one. I mean, he ain't committed to none of them. They, you know, hey, he take one to dinner and take another to dinner. I mean, is it okay for him to do that? Tammy?
Well, that's because the person, women allow it. It takes me back to the young man a couple years ago that told me, what you won't do, 100 women will. And I was like, I was floored. And I got a chance to allow him to explain that to me. And basically he just said, men have so many options now. We don't have to find anybody. Like you said, they're not hiding. Women are going for that. And then they get, I've heard women get in the ratio where there are so many more women than there are men, to in their heads they feel like, so what do? We got to share. I mean, seriously, that's how some women think. And they will share.
I know in Right. I know in Atlanta it's 18 to 1. That's the ratio, 18 women to one man in this city as we speak. And it's a sad thing, not the ratio, but that a lot of people in they move to Atlanta to get the nice house, the nice job, the nicest, and they end up divorced. A lot of people. I'm talking about out of 75%, 57% of them end up in divorce in Atlanta. And not as because it's the city, but it's because the mentality of a community or a spirit that rests upon certain people that's engaged in certain things that really, really don't raise the bar when it comes down to the things of God. And this is the Bible Belt. And so my question is, if somebody is, or my statement rather, if somebody find yourself tonight, you in a relationship, and it's been going left for at least 3 years or better, it's become abusive somewhat, it's escalated for the worse, and you know going in it wasn't God. You went in for all the wrong reasons. Tonight you need to come out. Tonight you need to come out. First spiritually. And then from there, and hear what I'm saying here. I'm not telling you to pack up and pack your bag and walk out the door right now, but what I am saying spiritually, pack your bag and get out the bed of the devil spiritually and get in the bed with the Lord and let the Lord lead and guide you in righteousness. And from there, what you do on the inside of your heart is going to affect the outside of your lifestyle, guaranteed. So tonight, come out of that bondage. If you're unequally yoked, listen, time is short. Jesus is coming. And I've been there. I've been in one of those tailor-made situations to keep me in bondage. And I can go on the altar right here with that. Been in a relationship unequally yoked. For all the wrong reasons, doing all the wrong things, keeping God down and on the down low, and not really on the down low, just ain't really, God ain't being glorified, and you know this, your heart is bleeding, your heart is broken, and you know you need to come out. Your soul is at stake. Not no car, not no house, not your clothes, not your job, but your soul is on the line. The very essence of who you are is questionable now because that one relationship has beat down the God in you to where there's no more fight. Come out of that. God is calling you out. God is calling you out. It's time to glorify the Father. Are you unequally yoked? Are you? Are you unequally yoked? We'll read one more passage of scripture, Tammy. I guess we can get ready now. Okay. You got anybody on the chat line?
Yes, we have. Yep, no comments or questions, though.
Okay, no comments. Okay. It said, wives, submit to your own husband. And I'm in Ephesians 5 and 22. Submit to your own husband. Submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Christ is the Savior. There's your answer there. Christ is the Savior. We can't save anybody. We cannot save anybody. So tell me, you said the women will stay in a relationship based upon what again? they feel stuck. They feel obligated to the money, obligated to the financial security. What?
Of course. I mean, all of those things. Women stay for many reasons. I think women decide to stay more so than the man for the most part, and it could be because financially the embarrassment of it, being in bondage. A good number of women and men go into marriage with so much in them already, with so much unresolved pain and unforgiveness and disappointment and communication as well. I think a good number of even relationships fail because a lack of communication, where it may seem unequally yoked as well. But we don't sit and talk anymore. There's no good conversations. There's no passionate conversations. There's no healing conversations. In most cases, men nor women even know their spouses or mates past, the things that have deeply hurt them. So it's like we don't, in most cases, I don't feel like people get the real person anyway. And no one completely gives themselves away to each other. No one completely says, I feel like, number one, we have not learned how to be that way with our Creator. And I feel it starts there. For me, I can tell you, I feel like now that I have a relationship, a true relationship that I've been truly transformed, and I'm continuing. I have to be every day. I have to continue and keep that in my mind. The way I am today, the person that I am, the way that I see love, the way when you understand that you are dedicated to this marriage out of your commitment, your word, where, and I'm saying relationship, marriage, meaning. You love differently because, again, out of the fear, goes back to that scripture you gave earlier, you're living for God, and I think very few people, husband and wives, have God first in their lives, in their home. Even the divine order, the structure that the word says it should be, that's out of order. So everything is out of order from the top to the bottom. There's no relationship with the Father, your Creator. You've not been transformed. Your mind has not been renewed. You don't pray. You don't study the Word. You conform to the patterns of this world. You don't pray as a family. You don't even sit down and eat dinner as a family. You don't know when your wife is hurting. You don't know when your husband's hurting. You don't know what to say, when not to say it. You don't know when to tell the kids, Dad, I can just tell, Dad walked in, Dad needs a moment. Because you're not in tuned. You're not in tune with your mate. Because you're not in tune with the Father. You don't know who you are.
Right.
And if I don't know who I am when I walk through the door, I certainly can't feel the day that you've had when you walk through the door. I'm so in tune with my own issues and my problems, and we're not meshing. We're not coming together in that divine order, first of all. And we don't have that relationship.
Right.
God lasts in our lives. God has become last, and to me, even in some of the churches, He's last in everything that we do. So the churches are silent about the things that are outside of God's word. Some of the things that are allowed today, you know, I remember hearing one pastor whose daughter, and I'm just saying, you know, make your own decision on this, but what it said to me was, what happened here is his daughter was in the choir, and she was single, and she got pregnant. And he told her, you're my daughter, but I cannot have you up there as an example to these other young girls if this is the way it should be. Now, it says he's saying that I'm respecting God's word and order in his house. And I'm not saying that you make your own, I'm not saying that's the right or the wrong way. But I respected the fact that he says you need to sit down and pray a little bit more and read your word a little more. We need to deal with this. Don't leave the church or don't go anywhere, but we can't have you in the choir like this.
Right,
or up here in God.
Right.
You know, so it's so many things that are allowed in the church today, allowed, and not saying, like he said, he didn't put her out of the church. Let's deal with it. But holding people accountable is what I guess I'm saying. We need to be held accountable. Our young people look at us and be like, why should we be serious about relationships when every 9 out of 10 of my friends' parents are divorced? Why should I look at being faithful, even think about being equally yoked, because it's not going to last anyway? That people look at marriage as a joke.
Right, right.
I think it's just totally out of order from the top to the bottom, meaning God is not first in the house. You know, there's no order.
Well, you know, I like what you said about that relationship, and that everything boils back down to what you said about the relationship with God. Everything starts from there. Every single thing starts from there. And when we get that first relationship right, because if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four of the Ten Commandments speaks about how our relationship should be with God. Then the other six of those commandments speaks about how we should treat one another. Matter of fact, you'll find that real quick. I think it's in Deuteronomy. The first four of the Ten Commandments.
Are you still there? You just want the first four?
Yeah, I just want to just kind of make an example here and how we look at the first four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay. Alrighty. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graved images. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then five, honor thy father and mother, goes on. You just wanted the first four.
Okay. You know what? Let's kind of walk through it again. The first one, it speaks about thou shalt have no other god before thee, right? That's one.
Right. We talked earlier about relationships. In most cases, the relationship becomes their god, you know.
Right. And so in the first one, it's saying, thou shalt have no other god before thee. And then the number two, what two says?
Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images.
And three?
Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain.
And four?
Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, to keep it holy.
Okay, so now you see the first four relationships deal strictly with how we are to have a relationship with God. And another way, then, as you read number 5, 6, 7, 8, it's going to speak about how to deal with one another as we on this earth. Very powerful stuff. And God, and again, like you said, huh? Yeah, read five.
Starts about honor thy father and mother. Then six, thou shalt not kill. Then seven, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, bear false witness is nine, and thou shalt not convey thy neighbor's house, wife, or possessions.
Now, isn't that something? The first four of the commandments is how you should have a relationship with God. The first four commandments is how you should have a relationship with God, and no other way. You follow what I'm saying?
Amen. I wanted to read a scripture from last night's show, but I don't think I have it, and I can't remember exactly which one it was. It was talking about the turning them over to their depraved. I think I found it. This is Romans 1:28-32. And I just feel led to read this because, again, it talks about what the world, what we are experiencing today. And it's Romans 1:28-32. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, So God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. And verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They gossip. Number 30, slanders, God haters, arrogant and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. And I remember you talking about that part last night. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. It goes back to saying that everything is okay. Everything is okay. To marry someone that you know is unequally yoked, to date someone that you know could care less about your spiritual growth, about your God, to allow anything and everything to go on in the church, even if it doesn't align with God's word, to not put God first in the church, to not preach deliverance from bondage, from all, I mean, everything. Where is God? And so if we look at that, I see couples coming together unequally yoked is another one of Satan's tactics, because for a lot of people, that's their God. They've given in to this world. They've conformed to this world. They are the world. So I think it all goes back to that relationship, that relationship with God, whether you're unequally yoked with your boyfriend or your husband, your first priority is to get your life right and get right with God. Once you do that, you guys, for me, I'm telling you, one of the biggest things in my life was road rage. I mean, it was just grace of God that I didn't end up in jail.
What? Not you. Huh?
Me. I mean, I road rage, it was, and now I catch myself, I can't even get it out. I'm like, and then I have said sometimes, better be glad I've changed, better be glad I know the Lord. Seriously.
Right, but it's just
grace of God that I did not end up in jail. I really had a serious issue with road rage. And I say that when you get a relationship with God, you are so transformed to, some days I spook myself. Like, seriously, I can't do this?
Right.
Seriously? What is wrong with you?
Right.
This is nothing. But when those small things become things to you, when those small things, it's like a little child who, you know, the mom or dad says, don't touch that, and they walk out the room, and the little child thinks, I'm going to go over and touch it, but I'm going to look back because they might come back in. Your relationship, you just begin to honor, you want to honor God in that way. You want to be pleasing to your Father because He's so good to us. You want to be. Not that I'm perfect, because I'm not.
Yeah.
I certainly fail every day. I'm not perfect at all, but I'm so pleased with my desire to be pleasing to my Father, with my desire to continually grow. And to me, because I see myself, and I'm made of His image. I am greatness. I am a queen. I deserve a king, or I'm going to be satisfied with my creator, my king, my Father, my God. So when you get to that point, women, I'm talking to my women now, you get to that point where you say, hey, I'm a queen whether a king is here or not, because at the end of the day, my Father will supply all of my needs. My Father is my source. My Father is my peace. When you get to that point, the world is different. You could go to the movies by yourself. You can go eat by yourself. Matter of fact, you're agitated when someone wants to spend time with you, and you know you said, hey, my brother, it won't work. You're agitated that person thinks you're supposed to spend time with them, and you know this will go nowhere. You don't want the free dinner. You don't want to see the free movie. It's like, no, I pay for my own. I go by myself. My time is valuable.
Yeah.
I'm valuable.
Yeah.
When you get to that point, the most peaceful and most awesome place, because it's like you're walking with God daily.
Yes, yes, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. When you get to that, hey, that was a blessing. Amen. 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 I appreciate that. I mean, just to hear that and know, and that's a good place. I mean, when you get to the point to where, you know what, it's really about God. That's all it can be about at this moment in my life is about God. And when you get to that place, listen. It ain't no more compromising. It ain't no more tolerating, putting up with. Listen, God is who I'm out to please. God is who I seek to please. Why? Because he's my Heavenly Father. He's my Heavenly Father.
Right.
So, people of God, I don't know. I don't know what your situation is tonight. And Tim, I want to close it out there. You said a lot. I mean, you really spoke to the women. Unless you have some more. Because I can do this all night, and I check them all.
I just really want people to honor God first. Get God in your life, and it doesn't mean that a man or a woman, your king or your queen, will come next week, next year. Trust God, have faith. If you don't have the king or the queen now, then as Steve said earlier, that means you have more time to spend in your word, more time to work on being delivered, more time to pray. You just have more time for God. So embrace that. Don't make the focus the man or the woman so much so that you're willing to settle for Mr. Wrong or settle for the unequally yoked, because you're going to have babies in the same unequally yoked relationship. If you don't want it for yourself, at least think about what you bring into a marriage, into a relationship. And whether we know it or not, that stuff stays on us. So unless you want something else to add to your list to be delivered from, you best start seeking God for what you are seeking. So
yeah,
I end with that. I'll let you do that.
Amen, amen, amen. Again, just if you're in a relationship and you know it's not God, if you're in a situation and you know it's not God, if you're shacking up, if you're married and you got married for all the wrong reasons, I'll leave you with this. Make your relationship with God the priority. Then he'll prioritize your relationship. Make your relationship with God the most single thing, important thing in your life. Make that relationship with God priority. He'll prioritize all of your other relationships. If you want prayer, if you want to speak with Tammy, and if you're female, or speak with me. If you're male, give us a call at 818-691-7406. That's 818-691-7406. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you again for time that's been well spent, God. We thank you for those that may have received the word, God, to change the course of their life, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that for those that may have received the word, Father God, that has pricked something in their heart to give them a new direction, a new walk, and a new understanding, and a clarity to where they are in their lives on tonight, God. We pray for the woman that may be being abused on tonight in Tennessee, God, that she's been in this situation for over 7 years, God, and don't know how to come out, God. Create that door so she can walk out of it, Lord God, unscathed, unhurt, unabused, oh Father God. Touch that man, oh Father God, that seemed to be down and out and don't know which way to go. He's tried a lot of things in his life on tonight, God, but he still operates in a spirit of confusion. Give him clarity, God. Give him direction on tonight, Father God. Give him direction on tonight, God. Out of all the broken relationships, broken families, broken homes, and broken lives, oh, Father God, only you can put them back together again, God, in the way they should be mended back together, God. So, God, we thank you again tonight just for the airways, the radio talk show, God, being able to reach the multitude and just share a word of hope and deliverance. We thank you. We bless you, God. We honor you, and we simply love you for just being God in our lives. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I do want to say, as you were praying, something just came up in my spirit. I do want to say to women, respect other women. Respect the homes of other women. Don't add that to your list of things. We really do reap what we sow. And you may be a wife one day. You may be a wife now. But respect, regardless of the ratio or whatever you may call it, respect yourself and certainly respect the marriage. And if a person, if you're not, let me just leave that right there. Just respect yourself and respect the home, because you are tampering. You're walking on deadly ground when you go, and there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of affairs going on. There's a lot of sneaking going on.
Right.
Just you need to just pick who you're gonna serve.
And you know what? I don't know who it is, but you know you're in a relationship. You know the person's married. You know, and Tammy, what you were speaking, it's just you're involved. The ground you're walking on is dangerous, uncharted territory. It's not right. It's not in the will of God. You're hurting the family. You're hurting the home. Many are hurting behind that relationship. If that's you, come out. Come out. That's not the will of God. The worst thing in the world is to have someone cheat on you. The worst feeling in the world is to find out your mate, your spouse, your significant other is operating in a spirit of infidelity. Don't bring that pain to a family or continue that pain, because that same pain, you'll see it again. Come out tonight. Come out. Let it go. Walk away. Is it easy? Probably not. But what would be harder is the repercussions. Come out tonight. Come out of that. That's not the will of God. It ain't God. He ain't finna leave her. She ain't finna leave him. Let it go. Let it go. It's so wrong. It's to the uttermost wrong. And on top of that, the Bible says God is not pleased. And the Bible says those that commit adultery, idolatry, debauchery, the base type sin, the only thing you can expect is a free bed in hell. Is a free bed, a free place, a free vacancy in hell for you. Living that lifestyle. I think it's in the book of Galatians, speaks about the works of the flesh and what's the repercussions for it. So people of God, man of God, woman of God, Christian, whomever you are, if that's you, come out. Just come out. Just come out. We're going to close out right there again, and we just pray that somebody got something, Ms. Tammy. It's been a blessing once again. I appreciate being in the studio with you. As always, it's been enlightening and edifying just to be able to share with God's people, God's truth, and God's word.
Okay. Do you want to give out any information about next week, or you just will kind of just keep tell people to just kind of stay tuned and for the direction about the King in you?
Well, you know what, we're gonna try it again Thursday. Unfortunately, tonight still the conference call tonight, for some reason there was some technical issues. We couldn't get it all connected, but Thursday night, we're going to do the King and You again, and that number is 424 at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock Thursday night. Matter of fact, I'm thinking it's just tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
Okay. And some of the people may not know about The King and You. Can you just say a little bit more about that? Just and kind of enlighten them because we had a new crowd tonight.
Okay. Awesome. Well, The King and You, it's a forum where men can come on the line and just share with some of the issues that men have day to day, you know, just being productive men. Because a lot of times we get caught up in the titles, we get caught up into the world, get caught up in the cause, sports, and we really can't be the king or the father or the man that our family needs, our society needs. And we lose sight of who we are trying to fit for who we think people want us to be. And so The King in You is just a forum where men can come on the line and just share what are some of the hurts, what are some of the pains, what are some of the struggles. And then we use a biblical foundation on how to overcome and become better. Because the goal is you call in on the line as a man, but you walk away as a king. And understanding that we go from a man to a father to a king. So The King in You is a forum where men can have an avenue to vent and be real. No women are on that line. It's completely confidential. And I encourage every man, every boy, every brother, every uncle, tap into it. It ain't church. It's reality things, reality of what we deal with on everyday life, just the reality of it. So call, check in with us tomorrow night. We're going to do it again at 7 o'clock. Lives are going to be blessed. Souls are going to be delivered. And lives are going to be changed. And you can call the number at 424-203-8400. Again, that number is 424-203-8400. The access code, the code that you will actually put in to tap into the conference, will be 105-9786-POUND. The code, again, is 105-9786-POUND. And the phone number, again, 424-203-8400, code 105-9786-POUND. That's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
If put to the women, just be mindful and respectful that it is for men. Allow the men to do what they do and connect together, brother to brother, issue to issue, and just form a relationship, a godly relationship, so that they have someone here to go to, because we do that for the most part. So respect the line and share it with your king, even if he's your unequally yoked king. That's where you send him, because he's probably got some issues going on just as we do. So, you know, go to him and say, hey, there's something starting up for men. Tell him, you know, because if nothing else, it's something a very, very wise lady told me, and she's no longer with us. But when I was going through my issues, she said, you know, it's not about saving your marriage. It's not about you. You need to pray for his salvation. She said, that should be your main prayer. And that was life-changing for me. It was life-changing to start to pray for healing for him, for salvation, for deliverance. It changed the course. It changed the course for me. And so learned that I had more responsibility in that, because, see, I was the one claiming to know the Father. But when she told me that, it's good to have good, godly women who've been through some things, who've experienced God. And I try to keep women like that in my life. But she said that, it's not about you, Tammy. It's not about your marriage. And I'm like, what? She said, it's about his salvation. You pray for his salvation. You pray for deliverance, healing.
And you know, the biggest... The sad thing is, and it's just a reality in the world in which we live, is so many men that have not been fathered. So many men that are men really still have the boy on the inside that need to be fathered. A lot of times you see grown men act outside of character. It's that boy on the inside that's never been fathered, and now he's in a position that he's never been prepped for, meaning you need to be a man, you need to be a king, you need to be a provider, don't really know the art of it. And now you're a grown man, but there's a boy on the inside that has not been fathered. If you have a man in your life, or a boyfriend, whatever he is, if he's considered to be a male, have him call the line. Because it seems men, they ain't finna go to church too tough. They ain't finna do that. They'll sit in front of the TV and watch some sports and play some pool and live with that pain until they die. But just every now and again, sometimes when men can call into a forum, they ain't got to give their name and be all active, but just can listen. One word can change the rest of a man's life. And any man and every man loves truth. He wants truth. If nothing else, just tell me the truth. And I'm good with that. So people of God, women of God, allow him and give that number to him. That's 424-203-8400. 424-203-8400. The code is 105-9786-POUND. It's some good stuff.
Tomorrow night. Right. The information will be posted as well on Facebook, for those of you who have access to Facebook, we will post it out there for you guys. You can actually look it up on my page, and I'll share the information from Steve's. Okay?
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, thanks to everyone that tuned in. Thank you for listening. Please share this information. Share the page so that if someone missed it, they can listen to the archive show. Please do share that information for tomorrow night's show with the men in your life, whether it's your coworkers, your fathers, your brothers, your significant others. Please do share it, because like I share it with you, the person that told me to pray for their salvation. It's not about your relationship. It's not about you, because none of that will change and stay that way unless first the relationship with the Creator changes. So that's what it's truly about. We've had a good night with you. Thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed night.
All right, good night.